Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local man who now lives and works in Alaska is about to embark on one of the greatest endurance races in the world, the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest International Dog Sled Race. Let's go in depth with Deke Knockaborn, who lives off the grid, 30 miles north of Fairbanks, Alaska. Well, Deke, how did you make your way to Alaska?
Well, in 2011, I was working at the Everglades as a National Park Service Ranger, and a job opened up and I applied for it and took it. And the good news about that job is it had a winter furlough, so it, you know, made me able to run a sled dog team in the winter and not have to worry about working.
Okay, so you went from a kid in Pella.
Yep.
To working in the Everglades, and you went to school in Colorado.
Yep.
And then you wound up in Alaska working for the Bureau of Land Management, and you, now you run sled dogs.
Yep, that's right. I've got 30 sled dogs, and I live 30 miles north of the second biggest town in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, and I live off the grid. Solar panels, battery bank, have to haul water. Yeah, I'm about 2 weeks away from my winter furlough, and then the rest of the winter I'll just be concentrating on running my sled dogs and looking forward to when I get laid off for the winter.
So. Okay, so as a the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, that's a government agency that manages lands mostly in the West, and you get furloughed in the winter?
That's correct, yep. Yep.
So there's no work in the winter?
No work in the winter.
And what is your job during the non-winter seasons then?
I actually work 300 miles away from home near a town called Chicken, Alaska. And I manage the 40-mile National Wild and Scenic River. I manage the recreational aspect of that river. And then my office is in Fairbanks, but I make several trips every summer out to the field and usually stay for four to seven nights and, you know, check in with my camp hosts and my volunteers and my interns and make sure everything's operating well.
Okay, so you've got different camps along the river and hosts and... Yeah. How long is the river?
It's a drainage, but in total it's over 160 river miles of different drainages, and there's three campgrounds. It's actually located on one of the two ways that either enter or exit the state of Alaska, so we get a lot of RV traffic coming into Alaska or leaving Alaska. So we see a lot of people from all over the world.
All right, people come just to camp and fish and hunt?
Yeah, most people are just passing through. It is a wild and scenic river, so a lot of people float the river. There's anywhere from a one-day float trip all the way to a 10-day float trip. And actually, it's a really rich gold country, too, so there's a lot of active mining on that river. There's a thing called suction dredging. Miners go underwater with great big 8-inch hoses, and they suck the gravel up to a dredge that's floating on the river, and then that little dredge kind of separates the gold from the dirt and then puts it back in the river, and that's really popular where I work. And while you're floating the river, you'll see a lot of that activity. Definitely very rich gold country, which makes it kind of fun to work out there.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Deke Knockaborn about his hope to complete the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest International Dog Sled Race. Well, now tell us about your sled dogs, and how did you get into that? And then I presume you're going to tell us about racing, too.
Sure, yeah.
All right.
So when I went to college in Colorado, I bought a Siberian Husky. Those are the beautiful blue-eyed dogs that you see in the Disney movies. And I was fascinated how he could run. And started reading about the breed, and kind of one thing led to another. I ran into a sled dog team one day in Colorado and asked if I could help out. Was hooked, moved to northern Sweden for a winter, met some people, and managed a 45-dog kennel, did snowmobile tours, dog sled tours. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. I want to do this again someday, but I want to do it for me. So then I moved to Florida, which doesn't make sense geographically, but for my career, it made a lot of sense, and spent 3 years in Florida And then I moved to Alaska in 2011. And everything was planned with having a dog sled team on the back of my mind, you know, having the job that had 4 months to 5 months off a year, having a house that out in the boonies where I could have dogs. In the fall of 2013, a friend of a friend was moving out of town and he had 15 dogs. And he said, "Hey, you want to get your sled dog team started?" And I said, "Sure." And that afternoon, I drove home with 15 dogs. And that was kind of the beginning of my mushing career, if you want to call it that. Since 2013, I've had 3 litters of my own puppies, and now I have 30 sled dogs, 5 of those sled dogs being just puppies that will, you know, be trained and ran later in the spring, and probably another 3 or 4 or 5 that are kind of retired, more of the mentors and the trainers of the main race dogs. This winter will be a big year for me, because I'm entering one of the 2 1,000 mile races in the world of sled dog mushing. And everyone's heard of the Iditarod, of course, the famous Iditarod, and that one gets a lot more publicized. But I'll be entering the Yukon Quest 1000, which is actually supposed to be quite a bit harder due to the more remoteness of the trail and the distance between like safety checkpoints. But this race runs from Whitehorse, which is the capital of the Yukon Territory, all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska, and it follows the old gold rush mining trails and the old mail routes back of the 1900s and late 1800s. It'll be a big deal if I finish, and I'll be a rookie, and there is an award for Rookie of the Year, so that's kind of my goal, is to try to win the Rookie of the Year. There's a lot of people that have been doing it way, way longer than I have, so I probably won't have a shot at winning yet, but I'll definitely have a shot at winning Rookie of the Year.
How do you train your dogs? I mean, that's just a lot of dogs to feed and take care of, let alone train with them. How does the training work?
So actually, it's been colder in Iowa so far this winter than it has been in Fairbanks, Alaska, if you can believe that. And
this summer or
this fall so
this
far.
Fall. Yep. Okay.
I have a four-wheeler, and we call it fall training. It's like, you know, spring training in baseball or preseason in football. Four-wheeler right now is my sled, and so I will hook up anywhere from 8 to 16 dogs in front of my four-wheeler, and it's just like training for a marathon or something. You don't start out doing, you know, 30 miles. You start out doing 3 miles, and you jump up to 7, then 10, and then 15, and so on and so forth. And we train on a four-wheeler until we get enough snow that the sled can go on the snow. Four-wheeler is really great training because it has brakes, the hydraulic fluid and disc brakes, so it's a lot easier to stop your team, and you can work on them running real well and not have to worry about the sled moving or anything when you get on the sled later. Really enjoy fall training, but really excited to have some snow.
I bet.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the lead dogs end up training the other dogs mostly? Is that how it works?
Yes, the dogs run 2x2x2x2, and the Yukon Quest 1000, I'll begin the race with 14 dogs, which is enough power to pull a truck. It's enough power to pull my four-wheeler and park. They're really, really strong. But yeah, I run 2x2x2x2, and the 2 dogs in front are called the lead dogs, and they're the fastest and smartest dogs, probably the most loyal too. They understand how to turn left, right, how to go through water, go over ice, go up hills. They understand how to keep the line tight, because when the line gets any slack in it, you get tangles and things like that. So those are the lead dogs, and they're kind of the quarterbacks of the team. And then behind the lead dogs, you have the team dogs, which are kind of interchangeable between each other. And then the 2 dogs in front of the sled are called the wheel dogs. Traditionally, those have been the biggest, strongest dogs, but in today's world, they are the dogs that just kind of pull the hardest, because they get kind of swung around. It's a pendulum, the sled team. Well, the sled's kind of on a pendulum, and so the wheel dogs right in front of the sled get pulled around a little bit, so they need to be really strong pullers.
And but you command them, or is it the lead that instructs them?
It's all my voice command, but we train so much. We train every day that repetition kind of trains them to, you know, and dogs are amazing at picking up how a human feels. We just kind of understand each other through either voice command or just looking at each other in the eye. There's definitely a really strong connection between the musher and the dogs.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Deke Nachtaborn about his hope to complete the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest International Dog Sled Race.
What are your voice commands?
So, to turn, I don't know where it comes from, I guess it's old, but to turn right is G, to turn left is Ha, two very opposing sounding words, which is on purpose so the dogs don't get confused. We use a command called on by to pass, you know, a loose dog or some kind of distraction in the team or passing another team. We use a command whoa to stop, which they don't know that one very well because they never want to stop. And then other mushers have kind of their own commands. I like to whistle or sing to my dogs when I'm excited, and that gets them running a little faster. So G and Ha and on by and hike. Hike makes them go, hike, hike, or hup, something like that. So those are the kind of the main commands.
But you say them real loud.
Yeah, not you don't have to say them real loud. It's mushing so quiet, they can usually hear you pretty easily.
You have to be in good shape, too.
Yeah. It's not just riding the runners of a sled. It's you pull into a checkpoint, 2 in the morning at sometimes minus 40 degrees below zero. When you pull into a checkpoint, it's time for the musher to get to work. So what that looks like is you got a string of 14 dogs that are ready to rest. So you got to go pull all their dog booties off, all their socks to protect their feet. All those get pulled off. You start melting snow or heating up water for their dinner. And we carry a big alcohol cooker that cooks or melts snow or makes their hot water. And you have to lay out straw, you have to untether what's called a tug line, that's what's hooked to their harness. Basically, it's about an hour of intense work before the musher can go inside or go find some food and then get sleep themselves. And then, yeah, when you're on the trail, you're running up hills and you're braking hard going down hills and you have to actively ride the sled, leaning into the corners. It's super, super intense. And we mushers go through a lot of calories too, and we need a lot of food. And we're doing all of this cold, wet, hungry, and tired. So all the things that we hate as humans, that's what we kind of get used to, and that's what we kind of thrive on. Yeah.
1,000 miles of that. How long do you think that's going to take you?
I'm hoping that I'll do it within 10 days. Traditionally, the winners of either the Iditarod or the Yukon Quest have done it in nine days. So I'm hoping I can break the 10-day mark, which means that I'll be going over 100 miles per day. Pretty amazing if you think about it. Sled dogs are actually the fastest animals in the world to be able to do something like that. No other animal can do that. It's pretty honorable to run those guys.
Honorable. Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at it. Is that part of the culture, or is that just
for
you?
Yeah, for sure. We have... Mushers have so much, not just money invested in the dogs, but time. If you could put a price tag on the value of a person's time, I mean, each dog's getting worked with almost on a daily basis. And they always say part of the culture is that the musher, the human, is the weakest link in the team and usually the one to quit before the dogs. And it's totally true. They're truly canine athletes and they're able to do amazing things. They're not pets, they're working animals. They get treated like gold. They get fed salmon and beef and kibble and hot dogs and chicken skins and sometimes even moose and elk, you know, depending on what's available. It's always funny because the musher will be sitting there eating macaroni and cheese whereas dogs are snacking on salmon, you know. So they get treated like gold because we depend on them to get us 1,000 miles down the trail. So it really is an honor to drive such amazing athletes.
When is this race?
The Yukon Quest starts February 2nd. That'll be my big goal. It'll be my first 1,000-mile race, hopefully the first of many. If that goes well, then in 2020 I'll be entering the Iditarod. And I'll also be doing a race the second week of January called the Copper Basin 300, which is supposed to be the hardest 300-mile race in the world. I'm really trying to have a big racing season and kind of establish myself as a musher.
Do you get sponsors?
I'm working on sponsorship. It's kind of getting the ball rolling right now. I have a website out and I have a Facebook page. Most of the top mushers do have sponsors, Cabela's and Canada Goose and things like that. Hopefully someday I'll be there and have some sponsors like that. But right now I'm just trying to let people know what I'm up to because some people might think it's pretty cool.
So in a race, mm-hmm. is there a perfect moment where it all comes together? And what does that feel like?
That's a great question. That's what we're always looking for. We call that the magic carpet ride. When there is those moments when you're training or racing, when the dogs are all, they look like a caterpillar or something like that. It's a highly tuned machine where each dog's like a piston of an engine, and they're just all perfectly in line. They're all working hard. All the lines are tight. They're all eating. They're all resting good. You know, you're good. You're getting down the trail great. And the musher feels happy maybe after a nap. And in those moments, that's what we always strive to find. They don't happen a whole lot, but when they do happen, it's kind of like getting what you need and then trying to find it again. You're trying to always get to that point. But that's what it's all about.
Thanks to Deke Nachtaboren for contributing to the program, and good luck.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.